ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
परिप्रश्नेन सेवया उपदेक्षन्ति ते ज्ञानम्, ज्ञानिनस्तत्त्वदर्शिनः।
सो थ्री क्वालिफिकेशन चेस्तले फॉर द डिसाइपल इन दिस श्लोक, दिस इज सबमिसिवनेस, सर्विस एंड इंक्वायरी। परिप्रश्न प्रणिपातेन परिप्रश्नेन सेवया, सबमिसिवनेस, सर्विस एंड इंक्वायरी। वेरी इजी टू रिमेंबर इफ यू रिमेंबर अवर अदर अपोज कंपनी एसएसआई। यस यस, आई यू ऑल रिमेंबर दिस थ्री थिंग्स, सबमिसिवनेस, सर्विस एंड इंक्वायरी। सो दीज थिंग्स हैव टू बी अंडरस्टूड व्हाट दे मीन एक्चुअली। इंक्वायरी, द डिसिपल शुड हैव अ ईगरनेस टू इंक्वायर। In fact, in this entire world, there is inquiry going on at every level. If you see the birds in the morning, they are looking for food. In the morning, they produce sound everywhere. They are inquiring, where is my food, where is my food, where is my food? Similarly, you can see the dogs, you can see cats. Every living being is always seeking something. They are inquiring. And you see men in the trains, in the buses, everyone is inquiring. Like I was seeing when the cricket match was going on, people are inquiring, what is the score? One man would ask the score, other man would say the score. And they would smile. So they say everyone is inquiring. Or sometimes you see now elections are coming. So people are talking which party will win, this party or that party. So one person would argue this party will win, and then 10 people will surround him and he will give explanation why this party will win. And then somebody else may oppose. So it becomes a very interesting topic for the people going in the train. Similarly, you go to the market, you find a big display of varieties of magazines, which are also giving answers to what the people are asking, the questions that people are asking. Like, people want to know, many magazines are coming, what are they talking about? Like, so the cinema actor, who is he going to marry? Or where is he going to stay? Which is the latest movie in which he is going to act? Is it very important for you? Will you die without knowing that? If you don't know that? This is the hot topic going on in the magazines. So people inquire rubbish things, and there are others who give rubbish answers. Good for nothing. This is the kind of inquiry that we see everywhere. It's very common, either politics or either games. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Their questions are all based on the same things. So animals are inquiring and man is inquiring. What is the difference? If we are inquiring about the same things, then what is the difference? You see, most of the books coming in the market today are pornographic books. They're talking about mating. Or if you see other books, they are also talking about how to better stay, how to have a good apartment. If you see the newspaper or anything, either it talks about matrimonial, or it talks about how can you get better apartments, or how can you get better jobs by which you can earn money and do some gratification. It is talking about the same four things: eating, sleeping, mating and defending. So here when Krishna talks of inquiry, what type of inquiry he is talking of? Brahma Jignasa. Exactly. Even Sukadeva Goswami condemns Shvatta Vyadhi Rajendra Ninansanti Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihanedina. He is saying Shvatta Vyadhi Rajendra Ninansanti Sahasrasha. Sahasra means thousands of topics the common people are having to talk. And they are not finding enough time. They have so many topics to talk. But they cannot see the Atmatattva. He is Apashyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Grihamedi. Now, who is a Grihamedi? Grihamedi is one who is centering his life around sense gratification. He has a home, he has a wife, he has children, simply for enjoyment. I have lot of opportunity to see such people. People that entire life is centered on the television. You see, the Asat Sangha is considered so dangerous for a sincere seeker of Abhidhatrushi. One has to give up Asat Sangha. On one hand, the Shastras emphasize you should associate with devotees so that you can elevate your consciousness. On the other hand, you should dissociate with non-devotees who are not at all interested in advancement of spiritual life. But you see people, they are so valuable. If you see people, they are inviting the most dangerous person to their house. And they are not inviting alone. Father, mother, children, grandfather, grandmother, along with relatives and friends. They all are sitting in sofas and greeting the most VVVIP in the center of their house. And they are attending to him for hours and hours. Do you know who is that person? Unless you could detect who is that person, he is that television. Sometimes that person is called as idiot box. Because he makes everyone an idiot. Although TV may give you sometimes good news or it may give you Rama and Mahabharata, but that is only an excuse to have TV at home. So that you can see the rest 99% of garbage which comes out of TV. So the house which is centered around television morning and afternoon and evening and night, now so many channels. And now we have cable TV, ZTV, MTV. So the house that is centered around such things where one is constantly associating with a person. It's actually a person because although the TV is simply a screen, it is not just a screen. In that screen you meet people whom you are not supposed to meet, whom you may not even get to meet in life. So many nonsensical things are shown. So we associate with them. Gradually one may become degraded. So in Grihamedi's house, their center is simply eat, make merry and enjoy life. What about God? They do not know spelling of God. They do not know who God is. Or they do not feel any need to know God. Even if somebody tells them about God, they are not interested to hear. That person is called as Grihamedi. So you say such people, if you call them, please why don't you come to our classes? Or why don't you chant the name? Or they will say, oh, we don't have any time. But they have lot of time for seeing television. And they have lot of time for going to newspaper very minutely. Everything. They spend an hour for reading newspapers. And they have lot of time for gossip. But you tell them to visit temple once or you tell them to chant one round every day, they cannot do. They are Grihamedis. So he says, apashyatam atmatattvam griheshu grihamedinam. They are unable to see the atmatattva in the body. In this body there is a spiritual spark which is driving the body. They are unable to see. So they will not inquire about the Atma also. They will not be interested. Neither will they inquire, nor will they hear somebody speaking about the soul. For them, it is something that is outdated or outmoded, which is not required for them. They will say, oh, we have advanced so much in science. So what? Have you found a solution to death? You should ask. If somebody tells you, oh, now we have become so advanced, you know, we are not traveling in bullock cart, now we are going in jet airways, now we don't have to send a letter through to a sparrow. Now we have speed post and we have courier. We can send messages so quickly. We have extended hands in the form of computer. We have extended ears in the form of cellular phone. We have cordless phone, so many phones. Similarly, we have extended eyes in the form of telescopes. So man is becoming very proud of his modern achievements. But we can ask a simple question. Have you conquered death? What about your solution to death? What about disease? How many diseases have you conquered? Number of diseases are increasing more and more day after day. And can you stop old age? You can externally, superficially stop old age. You can just patch up your, you can pull all your wrinkles down the throat and look as if you are 10. Many American women do that. But that is only a show for others. Internally you have grown old. So many dead cells inside. You have grown old. So the modern man is only teaching methods by which you can patch up your problems. Like you have white hair, you just put some garbage hair there. You have black face, you put some paran lodi or some powder. So you look very, very fair. If still you are not fair, you put 1 inch thickness of paran lodi. So at least that color will be seen. Your body color will not be seen. Or your tooth are gone, then you can have a set of tooth. So we used to give a famous example. This came in a cartoon. One time a man was following a woman. She appeared very, very beautiful. he wanted to know her whereabouts. So he was following her because she had a long hair, she had a cooling glass, and she had lipstick and nail polish, everything. She looked very beautiful and she was too tall. Was very attracted to her. So she entered a house and this man became very happy that now I have found out the address. And then he was about to go. Then he thought, let me, I should find out more. Then he was peeping through the window and saying, what's happening? Then she removed her hair and kept down. And he found she was bald, something like me, what I have. It was completely shocked. Then afterwards she removed her cooling glass and her eyes were so sunken inside, deep. I said she was wearing cooling glass. It was like a well, deep well for the eyes. And then he lost all hopes. And then she removed her high heels and she became half the size. And then she removed her tooth set. Immediately all the cheeks went inside. Like that. And you see, he understood that she is a 90-year-old lady. So the modern culture may teach you how a 90-year-old woman can look like a 20-year-old girl. Possible. That is the reason why even a 90-year-old man is making 20-year plans. Can see that. So, this is what modern science is doing. How to patch up all these problems seen on the surface. And how can you cheat others? How to cheat others? Advertising agencies are cheating people. How to cheat others? They say we are cheaters anyway. So you learn how to cheat from us. And you put all these things and you cheat others. So what is going on? So they have no real solution. You can challenge on their face. You can challenge on their nose. You can tell them, where is the solution for death? Can you conquer death? Have you conquered old age? Have you conquered diseases? What is the use of your advancement? All we have done through advancement is we have learned how best to eat, sleep, mate and defend. Because the quality of life has not at all increased. You see, people have a wrong notion about what is civilization. When you talk of civilization, people think in the ancient times people were wearing dhoti and they were working in the fields. Now they are wearing coats, suit, tie, the nicely polished shoes, and they are working in offices and they are traveling in fine cars and we have skyscraper buildings. So we are very advanced. But all these things, even dogs and cats can do. If you dress a dog nicely in coat and suit, can't you do all these things? You can make a dog or a cat also do. If you are doing the same activities, the Bhagavatam calls us Vipada Pashu. Two-legged animals. The cats and dogs may not have the intelligence that man is having, but they are doing the same thing in a lower platform. Dog is eating in the street. We are eating in star hotels. Dogs and cats are fighting with their claws and teeth. We are throwing scuds and missiles, even after so much of advancement. Man and man is killing one another, between man and man, state and state, country and country. So, despite all advancement, they have no solution to these basic problems of life. That is why they call it real problems. For this, one has to seek the shelter of a spiritual master. There is no other solution. So man, he is doing all this patchwork and is really not happy, but is making a show of happiness. So Prabhupada says, if you see anything going on in the name of happiness in the material world, understand that it is cheating, he says. If you see anything going on in the name of happiness, that means there cannot be happiness in this world without taking proper shelter of spiritual master. One has to experience genuine happiness by advancement in spiritual life. Otherwise, if materially one is prospering and is showing a makeshift happiness, that is only cheating. It cannot last long. It is only a showboating. So, when we talk of inquiry, all these material inquiries which we are talking about are all rejected by Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Bhagavatam says, if you are inquiring about politics, sociology, if you are inquiring about, as you are saying, cinema actors and actresses and all these things, it is calling us Chitrapadam. I was explaining in one of the classes before. All these things is called as the garbage that is appreciated by a pilgrimage of crows. Sometimes you see in the end of a street, there is a big garbage dump. A lot of crows are sitting around and they are removing the garbage. Sometimes they find a rotten rat. They take it out and they try to get some juice from the body. So this subject matter is considered to that. On the contrary, what the scriptures give, Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, it is meant for the hamsas. The hamsa pakshi or the swan lives in a very clean, pure place. and it's Atma. Atma said is clean, and it, the body of the Hansa itself is very clean. You all remember I told a story in this connection? Who remembers? You all remember? I don't know, I told you here or don't check that? Yes, yes. Anybody remember? Huh? No, not honeybee and fly. See, one time, a swan had come to another place. There he found, I think, lot of cranes, I think. He found lot of cranes. I told this story? No. He found lot of cranes. cranes eat fish. And they don't live in clean atmosphere. He found this animals, he found this bird there, and he was only one alone there. So, the cranes, generally they eat fish or they eat snail, you know snail? Snail. So the cranes were saying, who is this new being who has come here? He asked him, who are you? Your lips are so rosy, and your head is rosy, and your body is looking so beautiful. Where have you come from? And he started describing, oh, I come from that such and such lake, there are crystal clear waters there, and surrounded by beautiful trees which are bowing down to the river, and there are so many nice fruits in that. So he's describing the beauty of the place where he was living. The cranes were saying, no, 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 don't describe all that, we are bored. Tell us, in your place, do you get snail? Snail? He said, no, you don't get snail there. That is a very clean place, he said. Then all the cranes started laughing. What is the use of your place? Get out of here, they said. So Bhakti and Sarasvati tells this story to explain that sometimes great acharyas come to explain about the glory of spiritual world. Chintamani prakarasatma su kalpa vriksha laksha vritesha suradira dipala yantam. He says, Chintamani prakarasatma su kalpa vriksha. That spiritual world is bedecked with transcendental gems. The trees are all kalpa vriksha, desired trees. They can fulfill any desire. Similarly, there are hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis who are constantly serving the Supreme Lord, and every living being is pure. So they want to describe about the spiritual world which they have practical experience. And the crude like people are those who have tendency to always discuss useless subject matters. When they hear it, they ask them, can you get sense gratification there? Is it possible to enjoy sense gratification? If that is not the case, then don't speak. You are not interested. So we can see in society, everyone, as soon as you say about anything, nowadays people have tendency to ask you, what is there in it for me? Can I get increased returns in the form of money? Or will I get any gifts from that? Nowadays people have become so self-centered that they are not interested in hearing about others' family. Hmm? Like, you know, one man wants to say something to another man. But the other man is interested, so why are you talking this to me? Is it going to give me anything? If it's not going to give, don't talk about all these things. Like that people have become now. That's the condition of society today. So, there is a crow class and there is a swan class. Swan class of people derive a great enjoyment talking about Krishna. Anybody who talks about Krishna, their ears will become sharp. They want to hear more. And they themselves have a lot of questions to ask about Krishna. So they will ask questions about Krishna. And they will get answers. And when they get answers, they will feel greatly joyful. So that is the inquiry that devotees do. So either they speak about Krishna or they inquire about Krishna and about how to advance in spiritual life. The only central theme of their life is, how can I become more Krishna conscious? What are the ways? What are the things I should avoid? What are the things that I should do? How can I become free from all this attachments of the material world? Let me become more and more Krishna conscious. And wherever they look around, they see, who is having Krishna consciousness? And how the things that I see around can be connected to Krishna. Like that they are saying. That is one class. And crow class, they always inquire about useless subject matters. So, this jignyasa is actually atato brahma jignyasa. Not any other jignyasa. Otherwise everyone is talking in the material world, as I was telling. Go to a sabji mandi, people are inquiring about sabji, what is the cost of sabji. Or you go to big companies, customers, and owners of the companies are discussing. One is thinking, how can I cheat this customer and take more money? Customer is thinking, how can I get it in less price? So people are inquiring everywhere. But these inquiries don't come under the category of this jignasa. So she, Devuti also told a beautiful question. She was telling, Tantva gataham saranam saranyam, sabritya samsara taro kutaram, jignasayaham புருஷ பிரகிருதி புருஷத்தை சிவகலி தந்த்வா கதாஹம் சரணம் சரண்யம் ஓ மை லார்ட் யுவர் வர்த் யுவர் சரண்டர் ஐ ஹவ் டேக்கன் யுவர் ஷெல்டர் ஸ்வத்ய கரோ ஸ்வத்ய சம்சார கரோ குட்டாரம் ஷி செல்லிங் தி சம்சார இஸ் லைக் அ பேன் என்ட்ரி அண்ட் யூ ஆர் லைக் த ஆக்ஸ் வித் விச் திஸ் பேன் என்ட்ரி கேன் பி கட் ஸ்வத்ய சம்சார கரோ சம்சார கரோ ஷி செல்லிங் கரு மீன்ஸ் ட்ரீ குட்டாரம் யுவர் த ஆக்ஸ் வித் விச் கேன் பி கட் ஸோ ஷி செல்லிங் ஜிஜ்ஞாசையாக பிரகிருதே புருஷஸ்ய jignyasa, I am getting the jignyasa now in my heart. What for? This jignyasa is for knowing the relationship between prakriti and purusha, she said. So Lord is the purusha and we all are prakriti. So how should the prakriti act? We are actually superior nature, atma. So how should we act? How should we satisfy the Lord? And how is Lord the enjoyer? Are we the enjoyer or Lord the enjoyer? So these questions should come in the mind of a sincere inquirer. So, Pariprasnena means one should inquire sincerely about the absolute truth. Many questions we can ask. Why am I suffering? What is the actual destination of life? Am I supposed to wake up every morning, brush my teeth, take bath and eat food and go to college or go to company and come back and sleep, again wake up next morning, go on like this and one fine morning you die. You see, people who are materialistic, who have no understanding about God, they do not know what is the meaning of life. Exactly don't know what is life meant for. One boy had asked a question in the college when I had given a one-time lecture. Is life a formality? He had asked this question. So you have to just lead life like this. What is this fun going on? You know, Shakespeare gave a definition for life. Because he didn't know about God. He said, life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing. This is the definition. So he said, life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So he could not make anything out of life. He didn't know anything beyond. But one thing he could understand as a philosopher. What was it? That people, it's full of nothing. People are just wasting their life. Life, what are they doing in this world? Every morning waking up, sleeping, and you are doing, and every time you are taxed with so many problems, is life meant for only this? This was his question. So one should ask this question. Unfortunately, Shakespeare asked the question, but he didn't want to surrender to anyone. So he was a self-made philosopher. But there were great writers like Henry David Thoreau who came to India to find out the truth. So we find those who inquire sincerely, they certainly get a solution to their questions. So one should ask, why am I living? What is life? Who is God? Where am I going? What is going to happen after this? Siddhartha asked this question. Although he was a prince, he had never gone out of his palace. One day, when he went to the minister in his chariot, he saw a dead body was passing by. People were playing kettle drums and different instruments. And he saw that the body was being carried. And he asked this question, why? Why are they carrying this person? So his minister was telling, that man is dead. Dead, what is the meaning of death? And minister didn't know much about philosophy. He said, death means that's the point of life after which a person does not do any activity. He just becomes idle. What happens after that? He could not explain. Sorry, don't ask me these questions. So Siddhartha became very inquisitive. Then he asked many, many more questions and then later on he became enlightened as Buddha. So one should ask these questions. What happens after death? So when we talk of pariprasna and inquiry, these kind of inquiries are beneficial for one and all. That is why when the sages in Naimisharanya inquired from Sutta Goswami, Sutta Goswami replied to them, he said, Manaya sadhu prishtoham bhavat birloka mangalam patrita krishna sam prashno yena atma sutra setati. He said, Manaya sadhu, 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 he said, sadhu means sabash, you know sabash? Well done. Sadhu, he said, sadhu prishtoham, very nicely asked question. Good questions you have asked me. So the speaker also felt very nice. Because he was asked questions by answering which he can satisfy the souls of everyone. He said, Yatkrita Krishna Samprashna, you all are asking questions connected to Krishna. Yena Atma Suprativati, by which the soul can be satisfied. So that is why he appreciated these questions. Like later on in Bhagavatam also they said, Vasudeva Kata Krishna, Purushan Stream Punatihi. There are three people who are purified by the Vasudeva Kata Krishna. Bhagavad Gita Prashna. Prashna means question. Any question that is connected to Krishna, if it is asked, three people benefit. Do you know who are the three people? Vaktaram, Shrotam, Pratyakam. That part of the Sarangata. It says, these three people, Vaktaram, the speaker, the hearer, and the person who is asking the question. They all benefit by hearing this katha. So, about inquiry, there are vivid examples all over the scriptures. The ideal example of inquiry is like you all were telling many examples. Sanatana Goswami approaching Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Sanatana Goswami was a very learned scholar and pandit in Srimad Bhagavatam. But when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he bowed down to him with clumps of grass on his straw on his teeth and towel around his, wrapped around his neck, which is actually a sign of humility. He bowed down to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged him for actual knowledge. He told him, these threefold miseries are constantly troubling me and I do not know what is the solution. My Lord, people call me a pandit and I am accepting that I am a big pandit. What a big fool am I? Please kindly give me knowledge. So he bowed down and sought knowledge like that. So, Pariprashna, when you talk of inquiry, that inquiry should be for advancement in spiritual life. Prabhupada elaborates in the purport, he says, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Blind following means without understanding the truth properly, following a spiritual master or somebody blindly. Like in India, there are so many avatars, so-called avatars. So many gurus are made into gods. You know that? Even in Maharashtra, so many gurus are made into gods. People say, this person is a god, he is god, that is god. They just blindly follow. And they come to temples, they have some kind of arati, some song they have. They do together and they go back. Temple is actually a university where a person should be taught how to get over the problems of life. So these people do some rituals and they go back and they worship one person as God, who is actually a martyr, ordinary person. Such blind following is also condemned because Andha Yatande Rupaniyamana Teti Shatantriya Murdam Vibanda. One blind man is guiding 1,000 blind men and all of them fall into a ditch. So that is condemned. On the other hand, he says, absurd inquiries. Absurd inquiries are also condemned. That means when you ask a question, you should ask with the sincerity of knowing the answer and following it in your life. I have a feeling, sometimes people have a tendency to ask question to test the knowledge of the speaker. Like one time in our class, one boy stood up and raised his hand. Sir, I want to ask a doubt. Sir, what do you want? I have a differential equation which cannot be solved. I am unable to solve it. Can you please help me? And the sir, he asked him to write the problem on the board, he wrote it. So it was a standard formula. We have a particular formula, 1 by d minus m by e power integral pdx. Some formula is there. He applied it and then immediately get the answer. And we have applied it for 50 problems and all of them are solved. So sir told him, so you apply this formula and you will get it. And he said, please can you do it and show me? He asked. And sir was trying to do. And then he found that he is unable to solve it. Because there is some hitch in the differential equation, you are unable to solve it. Then sir was struggling, he didn't know. Then he said, maybe I think I should refer to some books. I will tell you tomorrow, he said. And this boy said, sir, can I, will you allow me to write it on the board? Can I try to solve it? He asked. Then sir said, okay, if you think you can, you try. Then he went to the board and immediately did another 3-4 steps and he solved the problem. And then sir said, okay, this is the solution, sir said. So later on, everyone could understand the motive of the student. What is his motive? He just wanted to show others that he is more intelligent than the teacher. But not one student believed that. He wanted people to know. What did he wanted to know? He wanted everyone to believe that he is better than the teacher. And by doing this, he thought people will think of him like that. But everyone understood he is the fool number one. Because he has copied this from a book and he wanted to defeat the teacher. And he was actually a fool and some of them didn't know he is a fool. Now he openly exhibited that he is a fool. I understand. So in this way, sometimes a disciple may try to show off in front of the spiritual master and will look exactly like a fool number one. Because he is just trying to show off what he has learned. Similarly, when you ask a question, it should be genuine, springing from the heart for your own advancement. And the answer the spiritual master gives is meant for you. And you should adapt it in your life and follow it in your life. So it should really come out of sincerity. So this is the meaning of absurd inquiry. One should not make absurd inquiries. One should ask questions relevant to spiritual life. Like somebody was asking a question when Ashwatthama sent the Brahmastra. It was, it is said it was very, very powerful, and it was trying to kill Parikshit. You all must be knowing that, isn't it? So elsewhere it is said Brahmastra is very powerful, that it can even demigods, not Brahmastra. Another place it is said, I think Hiranyakashipu was performing tapasya, and even the heavenly planets, demigods are all suffering out of the scorching heat. So this person was asking this question, if Brahmastra is sent, how are the demigods not disturbed by that? So it is not a very serious question, because Brahmastra, if you see, it can go to a localized place and attack a localized person without affecting others. So sometimes people ask questions which are not very connected to spiritual life, or which will not help people in advancement. That is called absurd inquiry. So there are many examples of absurd inquiry. Like people ask, can God lift a stone? Can God create a stone which He Himself cannot lift? You have heard this question? Can God lift a stone which He create a stone which He cannot lift? So you say, yes, God can. That means you cannot lift the stone. They will say. If you say, oh, God cannot lift the stone, if you say, that means He has no ability. So sometimes people feel that I have defeated, but actually they are defeated. Asking such questions is not going to be of any benefit. In fact, tarka are arguments of no end. Whether it is even about God, if you keep on arguing with people, it doesn't give any solution. On the other hand, if one asks questions that benefit others, one should hear attentively first. Hearing is the first step. Shravanam, Shrimatam Sakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridayanta Sohya Badrani Vignavati, Surit Satam. So by hearing only, the heart can be cleansed, and then sincere questions can come. So one should first give hearing. That's very important. So this is Pariprasnena. And then he says, one should be submissive, pranipat, he says. Pranipat means submissive. Pra-nipat, that's how the words are split. Nipat means to fall down on the ground without any reservation. Pra means without any reservation. So one should be ready to fall on the ground without any reservation to receive the knowledge from the spiritual master. That basically means one should be ready to surrender. What is the meaning of surrender? One may be materially very qualified. Somebody may be a doctorate in material science, and spiritual master may be illiterate. But that doesn't mean the doctorate candidate is more intelligent than a spiritual master. Like we see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was so learned and so advanced in knowledge in so many different types of fields. But who was his guru? Gaur Krishnadas Babaji. He was an illiterate, but then still Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took his shelter and achieved all knowledge from him. So spiritual enlightenment is not a question of academic ability or scholarship. Or one will be coming from a very wealthy family, and one should not present oneself in front of the spiritual master to be coming from a wealthy family. In fact, the spiritual master or a great sannyasi will go far away from a wealthy person. He will not even associate. Prabhupada used the example, when Parikshit was the king of the entire world, Shukadeva Goswami never went to him. When Parikshit left everything of the world on the last 7 days of his life and approached the banks of the Ganges and bowed down at the feet of all the great sages and rishis and prayed to them, please tell me what is the solution, what should I do in the 7 days? Whatever you guide me, I will act according to that. And then Shukadeva Goswami came, and then he accepted him as his disciple. So this is a proof that one simply out of wealth cannot attract the attention of spiritual master. So all these material qualifications should not be presented in front of spiritual master. That is the reason why in the ancient times, in the Gurukulas, the king's son and the farmer's son were given the same place. They had to go to the Gurukula, they had to wash the place of spiritual master, they had to serve him. You all know the story of Krishna and Sudama, isn't it? How Krishna and Sudama were the disciples of Sandipani Muni. Krishna was so opulent, and Sudama was an ordinary Brahmana. Still both of them studied in the same Gurukula, and they would go to the forest to pick up firewood. That is actually service to the spiritual master. And they would return. So in this way they were rendering very menial services to the spiritual master. So surrender means one should not consider one's other qualifications. You may be a wealthy man, you may be a learned man, you may be very beautiful, and you may have hundreds and thousands of fans, Jati, Shastram, Japas, Tapas, you may be great in all these things. But when you go to spiritual master, one should simply surrender like a fool. You all know Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning we were reading how Arjuna in the beginning treated Krishna like a friend only. He told Krishna, Krishna, take the chariot in between the two armies and place it in the middle. I would like to know what is the power of Kauravas and I would like to estimate our relative strength. Krishna immediately took the chariot to the middle of the armies. So Krishna in fact was like a servant of Arjuna. And then after some time Arjuna saw all the armies, his relatives, friends, grandfather, uncles. When he saw all of them, he got bewildered. How can I fight? His hands started trembling, Gandiva fell down, his body started quivering, his lips started burning. So immediately he left everything and sat in the chariot. So Krishna, I cannot fight. Then he wanted to justify why he doesn't want to fight. Because he knew that Krishna is not going to leave me. He has brought me to the battle here. And if I tell him that I don't want to fight, I want to go back. He is not an easy to tackle man. He will tell me to fight. So let me present some strong reasons why I don't want to fight. Like that. So Arjuna wanted to present. So you all know many reasons he presented. He said if you kill these people, they'll become sinful. Or if you kill them, their wives will suffer. There'll be adharma. Or he said, what is the use, my dear Krishna, you only tell me, what is the use of getting all this kingdom? If all Kauravas die, how can I share my happiness with them? They will all die. So many reasons he was giving. And Krishna did not speak one word. He was keeping quiet. He didn't speak one word. And then after saying all these things, Arjuna felt that I know solution. I gave 5 solutions to Krishna. And none of the solutions are reducing my suffering. Although I know the solution, still I am struggling and I am frustrated. You have this experience sometimes? Sometimes you feel that you have a solution for a problem and when you try the solution you become more frustrated than ever before. Like at one point of time we were traveling in bullock carts and man was frustrated. He thought, let me find a solution. He found the automobile. When he found the automobile, now he is suffering more than ever before. So the solution can be a better problem than before, can be a more serious problem. I was telling him, when I had gone to Bombay, I came to know Bombay is called the gas chamber of Maharashtra. Do you know that? Because so much pollution is there and people who like to live in tall buildings 40 meters above the sea level, they get the worst pollution in Bombay. Especially people living in seaside areas, the most wealthy people, they suffer the most in Bombay. 97% of the Bombay people are affected by the pollution and every one of them is said to be smoking 2.5 cigarette packets a day, even passive smokers. This is the condition of Bombay. And they say because of this pollution, their lifespan is reduced by 10 years. So man found a solution, but the solution became a more serious problem. In this way, Arjuna found many solutions and he was saying that although I have the solution, still I am feeling frustrated. Why? At that point, he realized that these solutions cannot help me. So he went to Krishna and bowed down to him. And he quoted the most famous shloka in Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prachami tvam dharma sammoodha cheta yatreyata nishchitam brohitanme shishyasteham shadhi mam tvam prapannam. He said, my dear Krishna, I am affected by miserly weakness. Karpanya dosho. Dharma sammoodha cheta. I am bewildered. What is actual dharma? Dharma sammoodha means, sometimes you call it as dharma sankat. Dharma sankat means, should I do this or should I do that? You don't know what to do. You are indecisive. So Arjuna was indecisive also. So he was asking, dharma sammoodha cheta. Let's say yes, anishitam brohitanme. You tell me, Krishna, what should I do? I am your shishya now. Shishya ste aham. Shadi mam tvam prapannam. I am surrendering to you, please tell me. And Krishna, do you think he gave an answer immediately? Vacharya explained. Krishna told him, what is this, Arjuna? You are bowing down to me. You are my friend. If you want a spiritual master, you go to Vyasadeva, he told him. He can give you some solution. So Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, the problems that I am facing now cannot be solved by Vyasadeva, not by anybody of this world except you. You are my only spiritual master and I am surrendering to you. Do not treat me like a friend, but treat me like your disciple. Now whatever you instruct me, I will follow. I am a fool number one. Not even fool number two. He said, I am fool number one.
I do not know anything.
So Arjuna's heart was such a wonderful receptacle for receiving the knowledge of Krishna. So you need to have an open heart to receive the message given by the spiritual master. That is the meaning of pranipat. Surrendering means one needs to have a heart like a proper receptacle. Jesus said the same thing. He said, if you throw seeds on a fertile ground, they will immediately grow. If you throw seeds on a stone ground or a barren ground, they will never grow. So if our hearts are filled with pride and we think that we know everything, many times we see students coming. While coming to us only, they come with a challenging mood. I will not hear what the speaker is speaking today. I am just going to challenge right on the face. So because they have a challenging attitude and not a hearing attitude, whatever the speaker speaks, it just bounces back like a ball which is thrown on a wall. Throw a ball, immediately it comes back. Because they are not hearing at all. They don't want to hear. They have made up their mind not to hear. Like even in psychology they say, sometimes people ask you a question. They come to you for a solution. But according to psychology they say, anybody who seeks solution from you, they already have something in mind. So they want you to know that solution. So they will ask you a question, and before you give a solution, they will tell you, I will tell you a solution, you just appreciate me. Appreciate the solution that I have. And you just keep quiet, understanding that I am a great personality. You understand? So this is what they say. Similarly, many people, when they ask, this is their attitude. So they don't have an open heart. So one has to have an open heart like Arjuna. Arjuna surrendered completely, realizing that he was a fool. Nothing can solve this problem. Such an open mind is required. One time, there are many examples that we in Prabhupada's books we can give for people not having open mind. Like two boys went to teacher to learn mridangam. Teacher asked the first boy, do you know mridangam? He said, yes sir. Okay, you come every day, you have to pay 200 rupees. So this boy said, I know some steps in mridangam. So I said, you pay 200 rupees. Other boy said, I don't know anything sir. So the sir told him, you pay 100 rupees. And these boys are looking at one another. When they were going back, they were discussing why the teacher said like this. Then the other boy, who knew little mridangam, he said, I am going to bone the other teacher. Why is he demanding more from me? I think he committed a mistake in calculation. He has asked me 50 and 100 from him. Instead, he told me 200. So probably he is not good in mathematics. So he went back to the teacher next day and asked him. Then the teacher kindly explained to him, my dear child, I have to undo all the wrong steps that you have learned till now. And then I have to teach you fresh, new steps. So for undoing, I am taking 100 rupees extra. Told him. Similarly, everyone is filled with so many preconceived notions about God, about oneself and about life, and they think they know everything. Like Shakespeare is giving a definition, as if he knows everything. What is the spiritual understanding? What is the spiritual statement? There is no understanding about life or God, and he is just making a statement. All that he has is very flowery words, which he is using to give some wrong, bogus definition about life. In the same way, there are many people who think they know about God, but they know nothing. But who can speak very confidently? Like I am not speaking very confidently. How? Because this knowledge is coming in parampara. One should hear from a spiritual master submissively and repeat the message without any adulteration. So one needs open mind. Another story said for open mind, like a man wanted to ask some questions to spiritual master. He went to your master and he asked many questions about God. And the spiritual master started explaining them one by one. But this fellow had no patience to hear. There are many people you will see in this world like that. They are always trying to find fault. You remember I was telling you once, I cannot forget this day, I think it was 95 I think. One time in 95 when I had gone to Neeli, when I came to Chinchwad, I was sitting in the station. So one person came to me, seeing my dress, he came and caught me. He said, I want to ask you some questions from Mahabharata. You are a Krishna follower, right? He said, yes, I said. So he told me how I can prove that Krishna has committed a lot of mistakes. So here are my questions. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 25 questions he asked me. I am really baffled. Then I told him, how am I going to remember all these questions? I said, still I will make a try. So the first question he asked me is this. This is the answer. I started giving the answer. And the fellow looked at the watch. I have no time now. And he went away. Immediately. So these people only like asking questions. They don't want to hear the answers. So this is the meaning of a person who has reservations, who doesn't have an open mind. Especially people asking questions like this, they will say, what is this? You people say you are ISKCON, you are doing this, you are doing that. And you try to give him an answer, he will not be there. He will be absconding immediately. Or he will speak some other topic. You tell him something, he will be speaking something else. So they simply want to criticize. That is all. They don't have open mind. So such people can never advance in spiritual life. A person who has a submissive heart, who is ready to hear attentively, he can make advancement. Not the one, before you speak one sentence, they speak 10 sentences. Then how can they hear? So the disciple has to be submissive. So in this connection, I remember how she tells us very correctly. Actually, first he sent him to Goshtipurna. Actually, Dasarathi was very learned in Shastra. And everyone knew about him. He was a very famous scholar. So when he wanted to know this verse, Sarvadevan Paritujya Ramanuja knew that this verse is a very elevated verse. And Dasarathi had a small tinge of pride, which Ramanacharya felt should be eradicated before he understands this verse. So he sent him to Trikoshtiyo, where Goshtipurna was living. So Goshtipurna was giving good association to Dasarathi, and I think about a month passed by. After which Dasarathi approached Goshtipurna and asked him, please explain me this verse. I am very eager to know the meaning of this verse. So Goshtipurna told him, my dear Dasarathi, one who is proud of his learning can never understand Krishna. It is not possible. I can tell you only this much, but this verse I cannot explain to you. I think you should learn it from your own spiritual master, from Ramanujacharya. So he indirectly indicated to him that one should not be proud of one's learning. And then when he came back to Ramanuja, Ramanuja told him, okay, I will explain to you, but you should wait for some time. In the meantime, Ramanuja's guru, Mahapurna, his daughter was married to a man in another village, and she was sent back to her home. So Ramanuja was like her brother. So she came to Ramanuja and told him, oh Ramanacharya, do you know my mother-in-law has sent me back home here. She told me that every day there is so much of workload at home. I have to go to the place, go to a faraway place, 3-4 miles to get water. I had to carry it back home. And I had to wash the house, I had to cook the food. And I had to do so much service at home. And we need a servant. So my mother-in-law was very angry with me. She has sent me back home, saying that unless I get a servant and come, she will not accept me. So Ramacharya thought this is a good occasion. So he called Dasarathi. Dasarathi, they want a servant. You go and become a servant in their house. Dasarathi was a very learned scholar, renowned, known everywhere. But Dasarathi understood the mind of his spiritual master. And he went along with this lady to her house. And every day he has to carry water. Can you imagine a man carrying water from a distant pond? He was carrying water like that. And every day he used to wash the kitchen. He used to cook everything. And rendered very, very menial services. And days passed by. Without asking a question, he was rendering service. Nobody knew in the village that he is Dasarathi. They thought they got some servant. One day, a very great scholar came. He was actually a Vaishnava scholar. He was not a Mayavadi. He was a Vaishnava scholar. But this Vaishnava had some misunderstanding about one aspect of the philosophy. He was committing a small mistake in his philosophy. So the philosophy is so vast like the ocean. If one does not learn it properly, one may commit a mistake. So he was committing a mistake, and Dasarathi understood it. And he thought because of his mistake, people may misunderstand the Vaishnava philosophy to be Mayavadi. So immediately Dasarathi raised hands and pointed out, sir, I am sorry to say this. You have come to a mistake in this place. I want to correct it. So when he stood up, immediately the scholar understood it is the cook of the house. Then the scholar, out of his pride, he shouted back, "You are after all a cook. Show your abilities in the kitchen. Don't show your ability in the sabha, where learned people come to hear. You don't know anything." But then Dasharatha again said, "Sir, I am humbly presenting this truth, but I cannot tolerate blasphemy against God. This is the truth. What you said is false." So, with quoting verses from the scriptures, Dasharatha proved clearly the statement that the scholar made was wrong. Then he understood immediately, and he sought forgiveness. Then he asked him, "Who are you? How you are working in the kitchen and you have so much knowledge? Who are you?" Then Dasharatha revealed him. He said, "I am Dasharatha." And all the people, when they heard he is Dasharatha, they were all shocked. Because Dasharatha's name was known to everyone, but they had never seen the person. Now all the people rushed to the village of Ramanujacharya and they told him, "Ramanujacharya, what is the disciple doing here? He is getting water from the river. He is cooking. What are you doing? We don't understand your mind. Why did you send him to the home here?" And Ramanuja himself went to that village to take Dasharatha back to his ashram. And he appreciated Dasharatha for his humility and surrender. And then he told him, "Dasharatha, because you surrendered yourself completely without raising any opposition, you properly humbled. Now this verse, Sarvadharma Paritya, can be understood by you." Then he explained to him after that. See, the verse Sarvadharma Paritya can be understood only practically. Theoretically we can speak hours and hours. But one who has genuinely humbled himself to a spiritual master, he can appreciate this verse. So that's why he says three things: submissiveness, surrender, and inquiry. So one should make straightforward inquiries genuinely for learning knowledge, and the jigyasa should be for long term benefit, not short term. He says, you know, tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. Jigyasu, what for? Shreya, not prayas, for shreyas. Shreyas means for long term benefit. What is long term? Long term is wanting retirement benefits, huh? Not within this lifetime. Long term benefit is for the future lifetimes. Little bit after retirement and death. After the future lives. So he says, Asmad Guru Prapadyeta Jignyata Shreya Uttama. Even I think Arjuna asked Shreya, isn't it? What did he say? Arpana Desha Pata Savava Kuchami Dvastvam Dharma Sammoda Cheta Yat Shreya. Sati said, Shreya means, tell me what is for my ultimate good, that is Shreya. So we have to understand what is Shreya. Like a mother is beating a child, left and right, go inside, wash your hands and legs, sit and study your books, you fool, wasting your time. So he's scolding the child. It's for what? It's for the long term benefit of getting good score in the examinations. Otherwise the child may cry, "Mama, please give me a chocolate, give me a chocolate." So sometimes my mothers, they fill up their hands with so many chocolates. Later on the child will have to lose all the teeth within 30 years or 40 years. Isn't it? So one has to think of the ultimate good. So here we see how in this loka book, Arjuna was also asking about Shreya. So the disciple should do jigyasa for Shreya, for ultimate good. How can I be delivered from this material world and how can I return to the feet of Krishna? This is ultimate question. And that is proper inquiry. And another one is submissiveness and surrender without any reservations. So Rupa Goswami talks of four principles. I told you one of that before. This is from Bhakti Ram Sindhu. Guru Padashrayas Tasma. I told you Guru Padashraya, right? One should accept the feet of a spiritual master. Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. And one should accept initiation from the spiritual master. And also the Shiksha, knowledge. Vishrambhena Guru Seva. One should render service to the spiritual master with full faith. Complete faith in the lotus feet of spiritual master, one should render service. Sadhu Vartman Vartanam. And one should follow in the footsteps of great acharyas as guided by one spiritual master. So these are four primary requisites for advancement for a sincere disciple. Purpose is this. These are the four requirements of a disciple. What are the four? I'll again repeat. Guru Padashrayas Tasmat. That means accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide guru. Guru Padashrayas Tasmat. Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. Becoming initiated by him and learning how to discharge ದಿವಸನ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಅಂದ್ರೆ ಶಿಕ್ಷ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಭಿಕ್ಷಾರಿ ಶಿಕ್ಷಣ. ವಿಶ್ರಂಭೇಣ ಗೋ ಸೇವಾ, ಒಬ್ಬಂಗ ಆಡಿದ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲ್ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ವಿತ್ ಸೈಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿವೋಷನ್. ವಿಶ್ರಂಭೇಣ ಗುರು ಸೇವಾ, ಸಾಧು ವರ್ತಮಾನುವರ್ತನ, ಫಾಲೋಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಫುಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಗೈಡೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಗುರು. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್. ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದರ್ ಆರ್ ಮೆನಿ ಮೆನಿ ಮೋರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್. ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ ಶುಡ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲ್ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಎ ವರ್ಷಿಪಬಲ್ ಡೈಟಿ. ಸೊ ಹಿ ಶುಡ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲ್ ಮಾಸ್ಟರ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಹಿಸ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೋಲ್. ವೈ? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ your actual life begins only when you are awakened in Krishna consciousness. Just like in the night when you are dreaming, sometimes you get wonderful dreams, fantastic dreams. You may be a wealthy man, you may be flying in a plane, you may have 10 bungalows in Bombay, you may have many many things like that. But all this is imagination, all this is imagination. When you awaken, you understand you are nothing, isn't it? Similarly, before you get initiated and completely surrender to the feet of spiritual master, all the things that are happening in your life are like a dream. They have no sense at all. It is simply imagination. But when you are awakened to Krishna consciousness, then you start seeing actually with proper eyes, as I was telling you last time, with Divya Chakshu, then you get awakened. So that is called as the real life. Your real life begins. So when you get real life, that means spiritual master is one who has given you life. So you should treat him as your life and soul. So it is said Guru should be treated like a worshipable deity in the heart of a disciple. And one should not use Guru for material benefits. One should not put the photo of Guru at home simply to show others that he is my Guru and I meet him once in a year or I meet him once in 3 years just to meet him and give some donation. Guru means you should have a dynamic relationship with Guru. Next week we are going to discuss only about that. The dynamic relationship between Guru and disciple. What is dynamic? Dynamic means dancing. You will understand what is this dynamic relationship. So we will understand it next week. How the disciple reciprocates with the spiritual master. So I could cover some of the principles of a disciple, but there are many many more to learn how one should be a ideal disciple. One point I appreciated very much in this 4 points told by Rupa Goswami. What is the last one? He says following in the footsteps of acharyas as guided by the spiritual master. Otherwise sometimes a disciple may say that I will follow the footsteps of previous acharyas like Gaurakrishna Babaji or Jagannath Babaji. In the same way I will also become Haridas Thakur. So some disciples do like that. They want to become imitate the Bhajanandis. So we cannot do anything of our own. As guided by the spiritual master, one should follow. We cannot act whimsically. So the topmost disciple is one who understands the mind of the spiritual master and acts accordingly. The second class disciple is one who hears the order of the spiritual master and follows it. And third class disciple is one who hears the order and does not act. Guru wants to keep on pushing him, do it, do it. He doesn't do it. He is very slow and reluctant. So we have to go to which class? How many of you say first class? Okay. How many of you say second class? How? Everyone knows the secret? Somebody told you? How did you know? First class is difficult because we cannot know the mind of the spiritual master. That is in very special cases like we see Nityananda Prabhu was ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This time he just preached in Bengal. Don't come to the Jatra and Puri. And then in the Puri Jatra, who was there? Then who was there in front of Mahaprabhu dancing. And Mahaprabhu was very pleased. Actually Mahaprabhu just superficially told him, don't come. But internally he had a desire that Nityananda Prabhu should come. And his mind's desire was known to him. Similarly, Rupa Goswami said, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. So one time Rupa Goswami yesterday was his appearance day. He wrote a beautiful verse. When Lord Chaitanya was singing in front of the Rath cart, he sang a song. And Rupa Goswami was not present there. But later on, Rupa Goswami wrote this song exactly as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang. And he had kept it on the roof. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he saw the verse. He was amazed. Who has written this song? Understanding my mind. Then later on he came to know Rupa Goswami wrote the song. He called for him and told him, Rupa Goswami, how did he know? He patted him. And Sarvadamala told, oh Lord, you have only empowered him to know about yourself. So in this way sometimes some disciples can understand the mind of the spiritual master. But unless you are on the level of internal Prabhu, you cannot imitate being a first class disciple. Some devotees in ISKCON imitated internal Prabhu and they said, now we have understood Prabhupada's mind. So Prabhupada wants me to become like Haridas Thakur. I'll make a kutir in Vrindavan and I'll become like Babaji. They started making a kutir and very soon they fell down. So they fell down and later on that man, he took up a job in some petrol bank. So he gave up Krishna consciousness. So we should try to be at least second class disciples. Hear the order of the spiritual master and follow it. So for today I'll stop here. Next week we will discuss about the dynamic relationship between Guru and disciple. And with that we will conclude this talk. Hare Krishna.
The four points you said in the world, can you give in short words, Guru Pada Shreya Tasmati.
Krishna Diksha Adishikshana.
Krishna Diksha Adishikshana.
Krishna Mena Guru Seva. Sadhu Vartman Vartman. Translation Guru Pada Shreya is accepting shelter of spiritual master. And Krishna Diksha means taking Diksha. And Shikshana, taking Shiksha. Very simple word. Vishambhena Guru Seva means obeying the order of spiritual master with faith and devotion. Obeying order of spiritual master with faith and devotion. Sadhu Vartman Vartanam is following in the footsteps of great acharyas under the direction of Guru. Anybody has one question? Shall we? You ask in a mic, always do it.
So Guru knows only the Mahamantra. Is it enough in one sense?
Mahamantra?
Yeah.
Mahamantra, na?
Yeah.
But that's the first part, why is
it? So Guru knows
only
Mahamantra,
is it? It is
enough.
Actually Guru, as I'm telling, Guru may be a scholar or may not be a scholar. Or Guru may be very expert in giving classes or he may speak in very simple words. Or Guru may be very educated or not educated, it can be anything. But Guru should know the essence. You know what is the essence? The essence is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Ahaituki apratigata yatmasa prasiddhati. Savai kumsam paro dharma yato bhakta bhakshati. He should know that the ultimate religion is love of God. He should know that. And such a God is unmotivated and uninterrupted. If he knows his essence and is practicing it, then he is a Guru. So he should be practicing love of God and he should be teaching to his disciples. Prabhupada even told the Christians and Muslims abroad, the ultimate goal of religion is love of God. If your religion can teach it, you don't have to change religion. You practice Islam or you practice Christianity. So we can learn how to love God. Exactly like a child loving its mother. Can you learn to love God like that through your religion? Then it's a perfect religion. So this is the essence of religion. You should know this essence. Hmm?